Kate and Terry are board members of the Lake Ponderé Repertory Theater Company, mm-hmm. and are both featured in an upcoming performance. Always Patsy Cline is the title of the show, and I guess this would be a good time for you to kind of introduce and tell us what that show is. Is it when I saw the poster, I thought, well, it must be a cover concert or something like that, but it's not. It's a show. I mean,
it's both.
Okay.
Right. Two in one.
Love it. What's the premise? How does it play out?
Well, so when Patsy first started out, Louise was a homemaker had a job as an electronic technician because not everybody can be a hairdresser. That's what Louise says. And she made friends with Patsy one night at the Esquire Ballroom, which is in Houston, where Patsy was playing one of her first shows, and introduced herself to Patsy. They got there way early, her and her bunch, as she calls them, and noticed this girl come in across the way, and it was Patsy Cline, and became friends with her. And in fact, she had she first heard her on the Arthur Godfrey show with that very first song, and she just fell in love with her. So she'd call the local disc jockey, Hal Harris, and made him play the song all the time. And then one day when she was calling in her request, he said, you know, she's going to be playing here in town. And so Louise drug her friends out there. She and Patsy became acquainted. And then Patsy was afraid the band didn't know her music. And so she asked Louise if she knew it. And Louise says, I know every word and every beat. And so she asked Patsy to come up and direct the band. And Terry and I have an interesting relationship because he annoys me and I annoy him.
I'm the drummer in the Bodacious Bobcats, right. Which is the backing band.
Yeah, and then they Patsy left and they exchanged addresses, and Patsy and she exchanged letters for years until she died. And the name of the play is her sign off on the letters, Always Patsy Cline.
Yeah,
and Holly sings 27 songs. She's amazing.
27.
27 of Patsy Cline's songs.
Yeah.
And so there is a live band. We've got myself on the drums. Michael Bigley is playing guitar. Rachel Askew is playing the piano. Muffy Nye is playing the bass.
And the stand-up bass.
Yeah. And so we've got a four-piece live band that's going to be performing all the music. And Holly Beeman is playing Patsy Cline. And she's stunning us with the vocals.
Oh, my gosh.
The band is really a blast to play with. I've had so much fun. We all have just playing with each other.
Yeah, the band is terrific. The first time I heard them, I was really blown away.
Before we go too far into this conversation, should we mention that the play that was originally scheduled for May 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Hive has been rescheduled?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. So if you have a poster hanging up in your window,
you can keep it there if you want until August.
I will be around with new ones when they become available. So we were going to do it weekend after this one, but it is being pushed back into August. Mm-hmm. So August 22nd, 23rd, 24th, those are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In August, you'll be able to catch the show then.
Right, at the Hive.
At the Hive.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
And forthcoming, the times and everything, you can go to the LPO website and get all the information?
Yes. I believe the website was changed last night.
I haven't been there.
Either have I.
So we've got until August, but yeah, we'll make sure that
we
get all the posters up and maybe come back and visit you guys again.
No doubt about it. Yeah. 29 songs?
27.
27. One thing, when you mentioned that, I go, thank goodness they all fall in the range of about 2 minutes and 20 seconds, something like that. They're not long songs.
No.
Right. Well, and there's dialogue between some of the songs.
Okay.
Because it's just Holly and I, other than the band. And so, yeah, she's amazing. So, and I'm kind of narrating it, our relationship and the story of how she became famous. And
So talk a little bit more about there's two people up and then four people in the band?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And so is it a conversation back and forth? And it said, talk more about, because this is unusual for a play, isn't it, to have that kind of structure?
I guess so. It's not unusual, I think, for actors. I think I've, mm-hmm. you know, done things like this before, but
it is different than anything I've done.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, there is a lot of banter. I, you know, come on and say, you know, the first time I heard Patsy Cline, it wasn't on the Grand Ole Opry. She was in my living room and I was in the kitchen. Okay. And so it's just really the story of how Louise is relating to how much she loved Patsy Cline and her music. And then when she met her in person, she just thought she was an incredible person. So I narrate it and Patsy sings the songs and we do an audience sing along. Like, cool. I'll say like, come on in and sit right down.
Make
that song
at home.
Right. When we do that one, it's an audience sing along. And then I tease the audience too. So I break the fourth wall a lot. So it really is a combination between a play and a live concert, but it's really beautiful. It's really a great show.
What do you do during the 27 songs?
Well, they're not all at once.
No. that's what I'm thinking of. It's not that you could leave and come back a chunk of time later.
So it's set in Louise's kitchen, and then there's also like a little bar area. And I go from side to side. When I'm in the Esquire ballroom, I go to the bar. But mostly I'm just talking about, like, listening to her sing, and then she'll sing a song. And so I get a little action. I mean, I go up and I direct the band, and then we talk about how we all jump into my sexy dude, which is Louise's pink and black Pontiac. And that's what she calls her car, her sexy dude. And so it's just really, it's a really great show, and the music is... I mean, if you're, you know, I'm of an age that when she starts singing these songs, all of a sudden I start singing along with her. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah, from my childhood, you know, listening to my parents play Patsy Cline. And I was about 10 maybe when she, but it, yeah, it's just really, it's very nostalgic. It's very fun. It's high energy. It's just a great show. And the Bodish Bobcats are stunning.
Yeah. So at the beginning, I guess the band is playing on television or the radio. And then when Patsy makes it to Houston, and that's where we end up at the Esquire Ballroom. But you're going to have to use your imagination because we're not actually picking up our instruments and moving to the other side of the stage. So we'll be in place the whole time. Patsy, she'll change her costume and you'll be able to tell that things are changing, and it's fun.
And that's the best part is I do not have a costume change. I wear the same costume. Mm. Patsy has about 11.
So when does she change them?
Like in between songs when I'm just on,
be up on the stage by yourself.
Yeah. Right. I'm just talking and then she'll run and change and then come back. Yeah.
Is she in track shoes? You know, I mean, that's
she might
a lot
have to
of...
be. It is a lot.
Mm-hmm. That is a heck of a lot.
Right. And I was so happy. Yeah, my costume's pretty outrageous.
How about the Bodacious Bobs?
Well, we are not changing costumes. We'll be dressed in our Western gear. And if you were at the Panada Red Carpet Gala, mm-hmm. we were up there and played about 3 songs.
Patsy Cline?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that was our first one. And we're going to...
Cool. Hey, so we're talking to Kate McAllister and Terry Owens from the Lake Pondere Repertory Theater Company, LPO Rep, if you will, talking about Always Patsy Cline. For our younger listeners out there, who is Patsy Cline? Can anyone answer that question?
Oh,
Patsy Cline, she was a young gal from, where was?
West Virginia.
No, she was from Virginia.
Oh, from Virginia.
She was from Winchester, Virginia, and she was probably born with the gift of singing and saying. And she was, I think, 15 when she first performed on the radio, and this was back in the 50s, so there was all the small radio stations like this one, you know, would have live musicians come in and perform on the air. She sent off an audition for the Grand Ole Opry, and nothing much happened with that, but she kept singing and was performing, and she actually went down and auditioned for the Grand Ole Opry. Her parents drove her down there, and she felt that they were pretty excited about it, but they didn't call her back. Eventually, she did get on the Grand Ole Opry, and she got signed to Decca Records, and she broke an artist by the name of Willie Nelson. She picked up one of his songs that nobody else wanted to touch because it had too many chords.
Back in the day.
But she had a different voicing than what was popular for female country artists at the time. And so she was able to cross over into pop music as well. And so she was... I don't want to really compare her to anybody else in modern times, but if you can think of like a country artist that was able to cross over and expand into, you know, the pop music
side
of things. I was just thinking of Taylor Swift.
And she actually, Patsy Cline was the first female artist to be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. She recorded 3 albums and tragically went down in an airplane and did not survive.
Yeah.
So she's kind of got that mythos of what she have been able to have done.
Right. Yeah.
So she was only 30 years old when she died.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That she was that young. Jim, did he miss anything? How'd he do? How did Terry do on the biography of Patsy Cline?
I think he did quite well, you know, because... I was alive then, and I remember hearing Patsy Cline, only though I was in northern Indiana. And what I was thinking as you were speaking is the next generation, who would be the, and I remember Linda Ronstadt doing I Fall to Pieces.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, that her music has continued on, Patsy Cline's music, and I'm wondering, you know, who was in the 80s and the 90s and, you know, singing those songs. But, you know, that, you know, Willie Nelson at that time was just a songwriter.
Yeah.
He was not a performer. But should we do a Patsy Cline song? And then I'd like to talk with Kate and Terry about, you know, you mentioned the Panada. This will be at the Hive. Some of the challenges, some of the differences, you know, obviously the venues structurally are different. So let's do, when she was on the Arthur Godfrey Show, I think in 1957, her big hit.
Yep.
That year, and then she takes a like a 4-year break before something else comes through for her. This is Walking After Midnight, Patsy Cline. And listen to, I think Terry's spot on, listen to the way in which she vocalizes the words, you know, the way in which she handles them. I think that's her uniqueness.
I go out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
Walking After Midnight with Patsy Cline, and we're in the studio here with Kate McAllister and Terry Owens. We do want to mention once again that the play has been postponed and has been rescheduled for August, but this will give you what, 2-3 months to, you know, develop your Patsy Cline chops.
Yeah. And I know there's probably a couple of people that were disappointed that they weren't going to be able to make it in May. So your opportunity is available in August.
I wasn't going to be here.
See, now you can be.
Well, thanks. You're welcome. Want to tell them the reason, real reason why you postponed? I asked them to.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I asked them to. I said, I'm not going to be here. And I really am a Patsy fan. Going back to my youth. But over the break, we chatted a little bit about, and I'd like to hear more about, you know, this is at the Hive, not at the Panada Theater. And both of you have been on both stages and both. What are the differences, you know, that doing, is this more of a smaller venue play?
I think it's, With the interaction between Louise and the audience, it is helpful to have a much closer distance, I think. Right. It's it's the kind of play that we can do at the Hive that we, like the bigger ones, we wouldn't be able to because we're not using a lot of props. We don't have characters coming on and off a whole lot.
Yeah.
Other than Patsy, and we're able to do that in a closer environment, which I think really lends itself to this show.
Yeah, you're not going to be up high,
right?
On like you would be on the Panada stage.
Yeah.
You're going to be right there with the people.
As Terry said, that's what makes it great because we do a lot of interaction with the audience. You know, and up on the Panada, the lights are in your eyes and you really can't see the audience except for the first row.
Mm-hmm.
And so that would make it a lot more difficult to, I think, because it really is a more intimate play. And again, because I point to people and I talk to people in the audience like, is that your first husband? He wouldn't have been my first choice either. Right. And so, yeah. And so there's a lot of interaction with the audience and the Hive makes it it makes it really a great place, a great venue. Although it's interesting because the stage, I'm used to lots of stage.
Yes.
And it's not a lot of stage, but that's all right.
There's width. There's not depth.
Right.
With your, it sounds more like a nightclub.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And the Hive is really great. They have comfortable seats, even if you just sit on one of their, great.
And you're not that far away from the people who are performing. Right.
And we'll have different tiers of seating. We'll have general admission, and then you can get a table to sit up front, or you can get the booths up top if you want to bring yourself and 10 friends or 6 friends or 4 friends. So.
How about acoustically?
I've been in the audience for concerts there, and it sounds fantastic.
Yeah, okay. It's great sound.
They've got a sound system I'm envious of.
And fun
of.
Lights and...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and Mac is great.
What's the seating capacity with as you set up tables? You know, is there going to be a place for people to dance?
I'm sure there will be over to the side because truly I can envision some of the people, my age and your age, wanting to dance to it because it's just so great and the band is so amazing. So I'm sure, I think Mac told me at one point seated 200, 250, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. I'm not exactly sure, but yeah.
Okay.
I thought you put your hand up, so I was like, what?
No interruption there. That's going to be a fun show. It'll feel a little bit more like a concert or a nightclub kind of.
Yeah.
I had to refine my Texas accent.
Ooh.
And it was difficult coming from Steel Magnolias, where I was a very genteel Southern lady.
Mm.
So I was told to trash it up.
Oh, you get to trash it up?
Well, you know, I got to talk like a Texan.
She drives a sexy dude.
I drive a sexy dude, man. What is up with that?
Will it be parked out front?
It might be, but you better not hit it when you're leaving.
Ah, okay. Yeah. We're sitting and waiting for you.
That's right. That's right.
Let's talk a little bit more about you're both on the board of LPO, Lake Ponderay rep.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else going on? Any other activities? What's happening with the theater company?
Right. Well, currently we are also doing a improv workshop, which is Corey Repass and Alexis Sen. I hope I got that right. Are doing that on Wednesday afternoons, evenings. So it's from 5 until 7 at the Community Resource and Vision Center. If you are interested in doing some improv, there's no commitment. Just show up. It's $5. And it's every Wednesday at 5 o'clock out on McGee Road. And you can find info on lporep.com. Now that my schedule is cleared up, I'm going to start going to that. We have been doing Patsy rehearsals, so... So we're going to be doing that. And then that runs until July 16th. And then I believe the last one on July 16th, we're going to do an actual performance and improv it up. And I believe that's at the Panada Little Theater.
So we'll
make sure that that word on that gets out. So
that should be fun.
So if you're scared and you don't want to do it in front of an audience, get down there next Wednesday and do it.
Yeah, I have a question. You just brought up something very interesting. You said, now that my schedule has opened up, what do you do with, you were all set to go May 23rd, 24th. okay, now you've hit a speed, not a speed bump, but, you know, like you're slowing down into a lower gear. What do you do, both of you do, between now and when do you kick Patsy and Bob and Louise into gear again?
Well, I am not going to stop because I'm older and I have something like 30 pages of dialogue. So
30?
It's a lot. And so I will continue to, I won't be joining improv,
so you can,
Bobby.
You can fall into the Louise character, you know, when you run across somebody across
all
the street.
All the way through summer.
You know, probably your family's going to say, oh, God, let's get this play over.
My husband has already said that.
Yeah. And how do you keep in a bodacious Bob's mode?
Right. So the band has done the woodshed portion. We were getting together really regularly and learning the songs and learning the starts and the stops and all that. So we know the songs now. We're going to continue to get together once a week, every other week as our schedules. We'll figure that out. But then come end of July, we're going to start getting together.
Take it into gear.
And when we can start working with Kate and running the full show so that we can learn the cues
right.
from where the dialogue falls in.
Yeah, because he's got to do a lot of riffs when I say, and we went tooling on over there, and I get in my pretend car, and then I say, you see that? I'm really good at tooling. Yeah, it's a funny show.
There are some musical cues that interact with Louise. It's fun.
It's a true story. The letters, yeah, mm-hmm. And Louise was a real person.
Yes,
and
Louise was a real person. You can look her up.
I mean, I guess that's fascinating. Does it take you all the way through? The full life of Patsy Cline?
Not the full life, just the portion that Louise met her, and then she had a number of letters, quite a few letters. Patsy would write every week or every couple of weeks and tell her what she was doing. And then Louise was driving to work one day and it came on the radio that she'd been killed in a plane crash. So, She Louise adored her. She said, you know, to me, she was the greatest star in the world.
Do the letters, like the actual text of the letters, does that feature in the play at all? Do you read from them? Or
I read one. I read the very first letter that I got on May 29th. Uh-huh. So,
1957?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I read the very first letter.
And what's the date of the last one? Would you
guess? I don't know.
Because
I don't.
It's like a six-year window, and then when Patsy Cline passes away.
Yeah. I'm not sure. It was, I mean, she wrote quite frequently, so I'm sure it was not too long before she died.
Mm-hmm. You might be the only one in the room who might remember the 1985 film, Patsy Cline with Jessica Lange, who was nominated for Best Actress from that, and she nailed it.
Oh, yeah. And Holly nails it, too, and it's right in Holly's range. I'm more of a soprano, but it's right in Holly's range. I sing a couple songs with her, but...
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, what fun.
Yeah, so...
How did that come about? I mean, in terms of the history...
Well, they're playing on... I don't know that it actually happened. It might have, but they're just messing around on stage. And so I sing Blue Moon of Kentucky with her.
Ooh.
And then when she sings... I don't sing, but when she does Two Cigarettes, then I say something in between, like, you know, when she says, that woman took him away from me, or I say, she's a slut. and so it's kind of funny the interaction in between the lines of the song, but
We were talking about the LPO and the improv workshop, and then you'll be back on with Always Patsy Cline. Do you want to give any clues about into the future, like what plays are on the agenda, or is it way too early to share that information with us?
Well, we don't have dates yet, but we're going to do Arsenic and Old Lace.
Cool.
And I finally made it to the age that I can be in Arsenic and Old Lace. I've wanted to do it forever, and I seem to be running a theme. It's about two old lady serial killers, you know, and I already did Misery and was a serial killer. So it's kind of, you know, just be prepared here in Sandpoint. If people go missing. Yeah.
Audition, you could die.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, I don't know, we talked about something at Christmas.
Yeah, we're not sure which one is coming up for the fall, but there'll be something in the fall.
Right.
I think there's a Shakespeare workshop that Michael Bigley is, I think, spearheading that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the works that will be Summer announcing theater. Shortly.
There's going to be a kids camp, I'm sorry, kids theater camp right, with the right. Panada. We're partnering with the Panada, and that'll be happening this summer, so yeah.
Okay, and one more reminder that the Always Patsy Cline has been delayed. It will no longer occur on May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, but has been rescheduled for August 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And we will have Terry and Kate for sure to come on, and anyone else who might want to join into the Thursday show during, let's say, August.
Great to get Holly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you
they
back
would.
Again. should we play another Patsy song, and then let's shift gears. And KRFY is having a major fundraiser the 27th to the 30th. And I know that both of you are very much, keeping an eye on the radio station and its health and that sort of thing, and both involved in it. So let's do this song that Linda Ronstadt also did a very beautiful version of it.
Yeah.
This is from, I think, 1961. She had a break there. After walking after midnight, this is I Fall to Pieces.
Yeah.
I'm standing here.
And
what I was lost in thought, and I don't know enough about it, about her backing singers. Like Elvis Presley had the Jordanaires.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm wondering, who's doing backing vocals?
On her recordings, it was the Jordanaires.
It was the Jordanaires.
Because they were the Nashville backup group.
The staples
and
there that...
The drummer on that is Buddy Harmon. And he also played on all the Elvis records, and he played on more number one hits. It's like 80,000 songs that he played on. That's all he did. He was the studio drummer in Nashville. So Buddy Harmon, look him up.
Yeah, so that was the Jordanaires. While the song was playing and Kate was vocalizing, and we were almost going to put her on the air, Terry mentioned about he wanted to see a few things about the relationship between Louise and Patsy.
Yeah, So when Louise goes to the show and meets Patsy and invites her back to the house because she doesn't want to take her to clear across to wherever
the Montague Hotel.
She's like, just come stay at my house. So they go and so they're both like have, rocky relationships. Mm-hmm. They've both been divorced. They both have small children. And I think that's what really bonds them together.
Yeah.
And the music brings them together, but it's their life experiences that really tie them together and that they're both are missing that, when Patsy's out on the road by herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by herself. I know. Yeah, it was because after that show at the Esquire Ballroom, Louise says, well, you're going to come to my house and have bacon and eggs. And then so she talks about how Patsy, she gave her an apron so she wouldn't get greasy spots, but she just stood there right along beside me frying bacon and eggs and we talked about everything. They talked about lost loves and found loves and broken hearts and shared secrets that they'd never told anybody else because, secrets no fun unless you tell somebody. And just really, shared really good experiences together.
Did Louise save all of the letters?
Oh, yes.
And do you happen to know where they are now? Like, is there a
I believe
Patsy
Louise
Cline
is
archives?
Still alive.
Is she still alive?
I think.
Ooh,
okay. Maybe not.
I'll have to look up. They took Patsy's childhood home, and it's now the Patsy Cline Museum in Kentucky.
I would think those letters would be...
Virginia.
Yeah, Virginia.
I'm from the West. Everything
I know, but whatever.
There.
Yeah, on the
east
other
of
side.
The Mississippi.
Yeah.
There's those little small states.
Yeah.
Weird shapes and
now,
stuff.
Would you have any idea the number of letters you know, the numbers were, because I take it Patsy was on the road,
right,
and Louise was in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quite sure that Patsy hit Houston, you know, during, you know, touring.
Well, she got a letter every couple of weeks, because she says there was a, you know, we just a long series of letters that just went on and on. So, I mean, if that was 6 years, then that's quite a few letters. And I'm sure it wasn't consistent, but she did get quite a few letters. And Louise, though, was very happy to be divorced. But yeah, she says that, hooray, yahoo, I was divorced.
Now, any idea about the playwright who wrote this play?
Swinley is his last name, and I don't know. I don't have any idea about him. Okay. I don't know if this was the first one he wrote or, yeah.
Okay. Great fun. Well, what this does is that this just builds the anticipation.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Rather than having it in May with high school graduations and looking forward to weddings and things like that, that now...
Well, and it was Memorial Weekend. It's Memorial Weekend, so, you know, that too is...
Yeah, that the play has been rebooked August 22nd through the 24th, and we'll have Terry and Kate and possibly Patsy with us next time.
Yeah, that would
time.
Be great.
And we'll try to book you guys right as soon as you walk out of here with an open date so that we can... Carve it in stone. That would be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, as we said, Kate was singing along to that song
last
time.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a personal relationship kind of with this music,
yes,
it seems like.
Yes, I love her music. Yeah, that's my karaoke go-to song, I Fall to Pieces.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to hit the kind of the low note, but all the rest is good.
Let's see. Well, we should. We'll have to save some for next time you guys come in. Well,
then you can have the real. You can have the real Patsy sing.
Right.
And maybe she'll do something a cappella.
Oh, she's amazing. She could.
You know, one of Patsy's. Well, you could.
Or
you could.
Yeah, Terry.
Terry could drum on the table.
On the drum and my brushes. Yeah.
And I could sing. Oh, or I could say, Patsy, sing it.
Yeah.
You could be one of the Jordanaires.
We'll get get the whole band in here.
Well, get us all in here. Yeah.
Let me run down a couple of local events going on this
weekend.
Okay,
and we can postpone talking about the fundraiser, just that KRFY is going to be having one through Tuesday, the 27th of May to the 30th.
That's right.
And we guarantee we will not postpone that.
No, that is on. That is set.
Unless somebody donates on the 27th, like... $500,000.
Yeah, then we wouldn't have to have a fundraiser.
Then we wouldn't have to have a fundraiser.
Wouldn't have to have one, wouldn't have to have something one this year or next.
Up this weekend, sort of like...
Lost in the 50s? Is that what you're thinking of?
Biggie?
Well, let's do it. Let's do it right now. Let's talk about the upcoming events. Lost in the 50s, here's the rundown for this weekend. Parade, street dance, live music, car show... and more. Let's see. There's a welcome party tonight, actually, at Connie's Lounge. Dennis Gage and Benny Baker will perform live in the Beer Garden starting at 5 p.m. I imagine that's weather permitting. This is... I think they'll just move inside if it does get a little drizzly out there. It's also the last day to pre-register for the car show if you are someone with an old car who's has not officially registered. The parade is on Friday, the Vintage Car Parade. You line up at Sandpoint High School at 4 o'clock p.m., and the cruise starts at 6 p.m. It passes from the high school, going north on Division to Cedar Street to Florence, Florence to Church, and then comes down Church Street to First Avenue, and then goes down First Avenue up to Cedar Street again, and then take Cedar all the way back to Fifth Avenue, and then you're out of there. All cars must be. Guess what year they're having the cutoff be this year for Lost in the 50s?
2020.
For cutting. How old does your car have to be in the parade officially?
Oh, I don't know.
25 years.
Older than that.
Oh.
The cars must be 1979 or older. So fair enough. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. Yeah,
Nothing from the 80s.
Well, let me ask you guys something. You know, and the next day we're going to walk around the streets and ooh and ah over these beautiful Any model or make that you look for that you go, and then you just, when you see it, you just puddle?
I like the rat rods. I love the rat rods.
Okay, okay.
I can't remember the name of, of this little car, but it's a little tiny car. And
mm-hmm. A Nash?
Yes, that's what I want. Ah. I love the Nashes.
Yeah, you can. I have to admit, mine's any kind of Studebaker. I grew up in South Bend, Indiana.
Ooh.
And when I was growing up there, you know, and the factories were just churning them out, I'd have to say over 50 to 60% of the cars on the streets in South Bend were Studebakers. And they're probably it was higher than that, but that's what I remember.
Wow.
Yeah, Studies. How about you? Anything from Minnesota?
Not really. there's manufacturing there, but the designs, you know, they're not famous for it. There's a Ford plant in St. Paul, I think. But the I like the Lincoln Continental in this Ooh. One, the old ones, especially with the suicide doors, the old yes. doors that open backwards, but then you kind of come in like you're entering a ballroom when you go to that car. otherwise, I don't know. I like the little European sports cars and stuff, but we don't get that. This isn't that,
no,
that the focus of that show, right. Really.
Yeah. International, I don't think have we...
Do I don't think we
I
really
don't
have
so.
One.
We have Canadians.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of Canadians who come down. In fact, they mm-hmm. all stay out at Sleep's Cabins every year. They have for years.
Let's hope they're back this year, too.
They are.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And so what's on out at the fairgrounds?
Out at the fairgrounds this weekend, Rocky and the Rollers and the Modern Gentleman. That is, I forgot, Terry mentioned already the street dance, but that's right after the parade.
Rain or shine, Sand Creek Sound is going to set up all the gear, and we are going to have the street dance, and it's going to be a blast.
At Jeff Jones Town Square.
Yes, and cool. Terry is an amazing dancer. We have it on film.
I know that, too. I have seen him dance elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You need somebody to give you a twirl, hit me up. I'll be on stage. Or out in the crowd.
Let's see. The doors open on Saturday then, I believe. Or no, actually on Friday, Rocky and the Rollers and the Modern Gentleman is on Friday night. Doors open at 6:30 and the show starts at 7:30 out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Let's see. And Peter on Saturday, it's Peter Noon.
Ooh.
And what group did he lead sing?
Herman's Hermits.
Herman's Hermits.
Yes, uh-huh. Yes.
I had a crush on him.
That's okay.
What were you going to say, Terry?
I said you should go.
Yeah.
Go see. Go meet him.
I am an Henry VIII. I am.
Henry VIII. I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I got married to the one. Yeah, and then there's a kind of hush all over the world. And I think I'm in for something good.
Yeah.
That's kind of the big one, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they were all big.
It was part of the English invasion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we thought they were wonderful.
With his little bowl cut.
Yes.
He was so cute.
Yes. Do you think he still has that, Kate?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. So that's on Saturday night.
Uh-huh. And then what's going on? Let's see if there's anything going on Sunday. There's other stuff going on in town too, not just the car show and related things. I'm not sure what do they do on Sunday. They do
the Aspen Run,
and I'll see if I can find that one. Let's see. Let me talk about a couple other things going on. Our friend, we have nobody coming in from the Panada today, but my friend...
They've got two movies.
Yeah, Brendan sent me a little list of things going on.
Mm-hmm.
The Panada Moms Gala. How did you end up pronouncing it? Gala? Gala? What did you say, Kate?
I said gala, but...
Gala, okay. You were on stage.
You say gala, I say gala.
You were right. One of the MCs of the event.
I was with Dino Wall. Uh-huh. It was great. It was really great. A nice crowd. It was wonderful to see in the second row that, you know, Marilyn and Susan Dalby were there. Marcella was there. Karen Bowers. Nancy was there. Harbaugh or Bates Harbaugh. I don't know which way it is.
Susan Bates Harbuck.
That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she was there, of course, as the last surviving Panada mom. And
the son of Laurel Wagers was there, Lee.
Yes, oh, yes.
He drove in from Oregon. No, flew in from Oregon.
Yeah, a friend of mine at the hospital. That's her best friend. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, it went really well. The magician is beyond belief because I was in the wings not too far from him. And I cannot figure out how he made that dove appear or disappear. I was like, what?
That would be the vantage point.
It was so great. And it was just incredible.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was really good. And it was lovely to have all those really strong women who have helped shape Sandpoint and the arts and culture movement here, sitting right down there in the second row. Carol Diener was there. Sweet little Marcella with her bun was there.
Fear the bun.
Fear the bun. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. But it was really lovely. And the Goddard sisters, of course, are great. And Patsy Cline was super fantastic. Yeah.
Louise was pretty good, too.
Thanks.
They raised $14,500 for balcony love seat restoration.
Nice.
Nice. All right.
They're handing out free popcorn in front of the little theater at 6 p.m. on Friday during the parade for Lost in the 50s. And they're showing Two-Lane Blacktop for $5 on Friday as well. At 1 p.m. on Saturday, the movie is Cars. On Tuesday at 7 p.m., the little live radio hour in the Panada Little Theater.
Oh, nice.
And that's a presentation of this radio station, as a matter of fact. This weekend, it's Mom Prom.
Ooh,
on
tell
the
me
16th.
More.
Okay.
It's a night to celebrate moms. Come dance the night away for a cause, I guess. That's on the 16th.
I have a cause.
Yeah.
Just the cause?
It's a cause.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't celebrate moms.
Right on.
What's the cause?
I am not sure.
Okay. All right.
What do you think?
Show up and you'll find out.
I believe it's, yeah. See if you can find more information about that, because I'm not sure I can.
Well, I'm going to give a conspiracy theory.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's to raise money for grad night?
Could be. Not a bad idea.
I don't know. Anybody else got a guess?
No.
Mm-hmm. Brian Jacobs is playing music on Saturday night at the Pondere Winery.
Oh, nice.
Double Shot Band is playing at Connie's on Saturday night. I believe the Jason Perry Experience, some funk music. Live music at Baxter's with Bright Moments Jazz that's on Saturday night at 6 p.m. I'm getting bad at this these days.
It's the Timberwolves.
That's what it is.
It's the Timberwolves.
I'm too excited.
You're not focused.
The 16th is Friday, and if you heard all those things that I said just now are all on the 16th, and that is Friday. Yes, not on Saturday.
Could that be tomorrow?
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. This is the Ides of May. It's true.
Yes.
This is a month that has the Ides on the 15th and not the 13th.
Do you want to now explain the Ides? Is this the time of year?
It has to do with the Roman calendar,
uh-huh.
And there were like 3 days each month that they revolved around, and one was the Ides, that on other months it's on the 13th, and there's like 4 or 5 months where it falls on the 15th, and May is one where we can say the Ides of May and be the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know about the Ides of March.
That's the Iron Maiden song.
Oh.
Really?
Of course you know that.
Sung by Julius Caesar?
It's an instrumental, so.
Sung by Julius Caesar.
By the way, Terry, we went this whole show without mentioning that Terry Owens is on these airwaves on Mondays.
And the Priest.
9 p.m. on Monday,
yep.
Playing Iron Maiden and Judas Priest.
Yep.
Okay. And
but everybody knows that.
Yeah. It goes without saying, and it did this hour as well.
Inagata DeVita and stuff?
All right. If you're interested in theater or just curious, lporep.com. Mm-hmm. If you just want to support with money, that's fine. There's a donation link there. If you want to show up for the improv workshop, it's Wednesday at 5 out on McGee Road in the Envision Center.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. Because, you know, upstairs. As a nonprofit little theater, too, it's kind of, you know, you continue to struggle, but we're getting good audiences now, and we want to keep going. And so if you're live theater-minded, please give us a donation, and we can keep going. I don't know if anybody knows, but royalties to plays are expensive. Musicals are extremely expensive, like $7,000, and a normal play can be anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000, depending on how new they are. And so, yeah, we would love it if you would participate and share the love and give us a little donation, and we want to keep going because we're bound and determined to do that. That's as right. A board. Yeah.
If you feel there's something missing in your life, try theater.
Yeah. Yes.
I do want to mention, speaking of making donations or whatever, that KRFY is still looking for donations of CDs and DVDs that will be resold at the Sidewalk Day sale the last Saturday in July. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct. We have to pay ASCAP and BMI fees.
KRFY, 88.5.
Well, Honda Ray. Sorry. It's 9 o'clock. We're going long.
Watch. I'm sure we're going to be getting bird note calls.
Yeah.
But anyway, bring them down to the station here at 323.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
323 right? North 1st Avenue. And drop them off at the radio station, or if not, make a call and make arrangements. Somebody will be here. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you, Terry.
The
thank
sound
you, Kate.
Of the Woody Woodpecker.
You're welcome. That's awesome. It's, oh, dear.
Oh, somebody is improvising.
It's not officially our fund drive right now, but it is not too early if you are interested in becoming a member of this radio station and supporting nonprofit, non-commercial community radio in North Idaho, KRFY.org. And then do tune in for the fund drive the 27th through the 30th. That is going to be... We're going to put the fun in fund drive. Mm-hmm. Terry, you're coming in.
I am.
In the evening. We're doing kind of a nighttime drive, something
it'll
a little different.
It'll still be daylight, though.
I know, yeah. Cause
that's
yeah.
Right.
But try and catch a little different audience than our usual kind of all-day experience. Bird note time. Thanks, Kate. Thanks, Terry.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Here we go.